The president has ordered thousands more troops into Afghanistan.
This is your mission, should you choose to accept it.
They're going with an exit strategy in hand and a clear mission: train the Afghans.
We have to have a partner that can identify, recruit, retain a security force and a police force that are able to take an improved security environment and eventually hold that area.
Pardon the cliche, but is it mission impossible? For the soldiers going overseas to fight, do they believe Afghanistan can have a strong, independent army in 5 years? It's their mission in Obama's war.
This tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
Expect the impossible indeed on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning. It's Tuesday, December 1st. I'm Celeste Headlee here with John Hockenberry. Good morning.
December 1st. Hard to believe.
It's the last month of the year.
Yes, indeed. Good morning, Celeste. Also on the program, searching for jobs amidst a river of layoffs. There might be opportunities in those pink slips. The complex financial camouflage of paying for health care reform. Will anyone actually be paying more? And marriage difficulties in Catholic Brazil and the difficulties of trying to get out of a bad business. Toxic assets and the Federal Reserve coming up.
But first, retired Sergeant Steve Hyusung joins us. He served in Afghanistan in 2002 and 2003, and he's currently the host and producer of an In the Works television show called Redeployed. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm well, thanks. Do you see this as a clear mission, going in and training the Afghan army within 5 years?
No, not at all. I think that he came up with the best idea that he possibly could. That sounds good to everybody around him, but I don't think this is going to work at all.
You don't think it would work to get the Afghan army trained in 5 years? Is that what you mean?
I think that they could train them up all they want, but the second that we leave, they're going to either switch sides or fail. They just don't have the resolve and they don't have the resources in order to do much at all to defend themselves at this point.
Okay, we're going to talk more with you and a couple others in a moment. That's retired Sergeant Steve Hyusung. We'll be back with you in a moment, but first, everything else you need to know this morning.
Well, a sobering assessment there, and as you just heard, President Obama will be unveiling his Afghan strategy tonight. It's part of an expected 30,000 to 35,000 troop buildup. White House spokesman Robert Gibbs explains that the new Marines will be in the Kandahar region, a Taliban stronghold, by Christmas.
Once that area is cleared, that area then has to be held. Ultimately, the strategy will be to transfer the security responsibility of an area to the Afghans.
Meanwhile, U.S. allies in NATO are expected to confirm an additional 5,000 troops. The president will address the nation at 8 o'clock Eastern time this evening. Thousands of unemployed Americans face a crisis today, losing their health insurance. A federal subsidy to the COBRA plan runs out today. Without it, insurance costs will jump by hundreds of dollars for the unemployed who manage to hold on to their insurance. The White House says it wants to extend the subsidies, but finding the money is a challenge.
That challenge is a minor battle in the health care war now underway in the Senate. Majority Leader Harry Reid says,
there is not an issue more important than finishing this legislation.
But Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says Democrats have an ulterior motive in their health care efforts.
The administration and its allies in Congress have wanted to push government-run health care for many years, and they view the economic crisis that we're in as their moment to do it.
The Democrats got a boost when a Congressional Budget Office report yesterday showed the current bill would leave premiums unchanged or slightly lower for the vast majority of Americans. And new evidence says the stimulus package may have saved jobs. The Congressional Budget Office also estimates the plan sustained between 600,000 and 1.5 million jobs in the third quarter. After finishing the best month since the summer, the Dow is going to open at 10,344 today. The S&P 5 points under 1,100, and the NASDAQ will open at 2,144. So as we said, President Obama will outline his new strategy in Afghanistan tonight during his speech at West Point. And we want to know, what are you listening for? Are you looking to hear about an exit strategy, maybe plans for diplomacy in the region? Let us know at 8778-MY-TAKE, especially vets and families. Give us a call or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Once that area is cleared, that area then has to be held. Ultimately, the strategy will be to transfer the security responsibility of an area to the Afghans.
That's White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs. He was talking about what the president will be speaking about at West Point tonight. Obama will deliver a major speech that's expected to announce that 30,000 more troops will be deployed to Afghanistan. And we have two people here that will be watching that very carefully, both veterans of the war in Afghanistan. We are joined again by retired Sergeant Steve Husong, who served in Afghanistan from 2002 to 2003 and is now the host and producer of a pre-production show called Redeployed. Good morning again. Also, Army Reservist Major Adrian Dicker-Kaczynski. She's on the advisory board of the Rebuilding Afghanistan Foundation. That's a nonprofit group focusing on education. Also served in Afghanistan from 2002 to 2003. Good morning to you as well, Adrian.
Good morning.
You may have heard earlier Steve saying that he feels that the mission of going to Afghanistan and training the Afghan forces within 5 years was not possible. Do you agree with that assessment?
Well, I unfortunately didn't get to hear all of Steve's statements, so I hesitate to say whether I agree or disagree at this point.
Well,
I think
Steve, what was your statement real quick? Can you repeat that for Adrian?
What they're talking about doing is going in there, and they said that, I guess they're going to clear out the Kunar Province up there at up by the border, and then they said within 5 years they're going to completely turn it over to the ANA, which, if they do that, what's going to happen is the ANA is going to get their butt kicked, and they're just going to get retaken over again.
Adrian?
And the ANA is the Afghan National Army.
Right. Adrian?
Right. Yeah, no, I don't know if I entirely agree with that, Steve. I mean, again, I think this all comes down to how well this gets resourced and then the ability of the Afghans to create a national army that's respondent to the needs of each particular province, as well as to the overall goals of the nation. So, it's hard for me to address a specific, element of, well, the Afghan National Army needs to do this and the police needs to do that. I mean, I think that my concern as I wait to hear what President Obama has to say today is that I hope that he is willing and ready to commit the U.S. to a long-term presence in Afghanistan, one that will start with a heavier troop presence to secure stability in the first year or two, accompanied and ultimately overtaken by an overarching civilian strategic plan to build federal, provincial, and local institutions and capacities. So to me, the question of success in this entire endeavor is not purely a military one. It is also one that builds the civilian institutions and socioeconomic development capacities. That is the most critical part of any kind of commitment on our part.
So you're looking but you're looking for a more strategy similar to Korea, where we had troops in there, and then later we sustained a presence that perhaps in many ways was not military to promote stability in that region.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the point I try to make is that I think that in the beginning there has to be a troop surge. There does need to be a heavier troop presence. But the real work and the important work is rebuilding the civilian infrastructure and the institutions and capacities of the country. That can't be done until there is a greater level of security, which currently doesn't exist. For various reasons, good and bad, we have not yet resourced any aspect of this commitment to the extent necessary in Afghanistan.
There'll never be any kind of security there. It's a warrior culture. I mean, this is what they'll do. They'll take everything we can possibly give them. There's no doubt about that. And you send in, you know, a bunch of brigade combat teams and a bunch of Marines, and everybody's here for a second. And then what's going to happen is that the second we start to pull out, they're gonna build up again. They're gonna start coming across the Pakistan border, and it's gonna turn into a nightmare again. It'll turn into genocide. I mean, it's not like in Korea, you know, they split it down the North Korean South Korean border, and then we kept up a heavy duty military presence, and then we built up Korea on the south side, and North Korea basically went broke. They were backed by the communists, and it was a very set cold war with people overlooking it. But you're not talking about people who are going to answer to anybody. It's like the Jihad Olympics over there. They're never going to stop. The only thing that's going to make these people stop is to punish them bad enough to where it's not worth their while to go over there at all.
Okay, well, let's bring in another guest now, because if the president is talking about sending in 30,000 more troops, that means we're going to have 30,000 more potentially Afghanistan veterans. And that brings us to National Guard Specialist Marco Reiniger. Good morning, Marco.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being on. Your concern here is the care of these veterans. We're going to go back to the strategy, but if we have 30,000 more veterans, are we already taking care of the Afghan veterans who are coming home now before we add these new ones?
Well, we've come a long way from when we first invaded Afghanistan and the war started, but the crucial point is to stay on that path and make sure that, you know, legislation reflects our endeavors to take care of these service members. That's the main thing here. We've had, you know, made great strides, especially with the passing of the Defense Authorization Bill, the VA's budget being appropriated a year in advance. Obviously, the GI Bill, which was a huge success, but it's very right. It's like you said, we need to take care of these troops that we send to combat, and they come back as memorials of these wars. So that's a major point.
Major Kaczynski and Sergeant Steve Hussong, it strikes me really hard that for both of you who served at roughly the same time in Afghanistan, that one of you would be completely giving up on the building up of civilian infrastructure in Afghanistan as a mission, while Major Kaczynski, believes that's the only approach. That divergence actually frightens me, anticipating what Obama is going to say tonight. Could I get a quick comment from both of you?
Yeah, no, I guess what I'd like to say. Here's why I fervently believe the U.S. has an obligation to secure a stable Afghanistan. We are looking at a state teetering on the brink of disaster. It's situated between an unstable Pakistan, often in conflict with India, both countries possessing formidable nuclear arsenals, and a volatile Iranian leadership with disturbing nuclear weaponry ambitions. With a current history of harboring a motley crew of global violent extremists hell-bent on exporting their nihilist vision worldwide, and whose economy and society are on the verge of becoming a narco-slave state where hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, flow to criminals and terrorists, and the majority of the population is effectively enslaved to illicit contraband trafficking, thereby depriving Afghanistan, Pakistan, and neighboring countries in the region of desperately needed tax revenues to serve their people. So to sum up, a vicious cycle of poverty leading to desperation, to corruption, to instability, all gladly exacerbated and incited by violent religious extremists and financed by amoral criminals in a region with nukes. What is good about such a status quo?
Very quickly, I'm sorry, we have very little time left. Steve, did you have a quick response to what Adrian just said?
Well, she just basically what she says is the country's run by a bunch of criminals and she's worried about Pakistan's nukes, which makes a lot of sense. But there's no exit strategy. If we can go in there and do as much damage as we can to make it not worth their while, that would be worth doing. But if you're going to dump a ton of money in there to make them love us, I don't think it's going to do a lot of good once we leave there, is what I'm thinking.
Oh, some very conflicting voices from Afghanistan. That's retired Sergeant Steve Hussong, served in Afghanistan from 2002 to 2003. Major Adrian Dicker-Kaczynski served at about the same time. And also National Guard Specialist Michael Reininger joined us. He served in Afghanistan in 2008. Thanks to all three of you. Let's take a look at headlines now.
So people have been, have been fanning out across two counties in Washington State, continuing to search for a man suspected of gunning down four police officers at a Tacoma coffee shop on Sunday. Authorities say they think suspect Maurice Clemens is still alive and has been helped by a network of friends and family. Healthcare reform should cut the federal deficit by about $130 billion. That's according to the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office. We're going to delve into those numbers a little later on in the show. And General Electric has reached an agreement to buy a 20% stake in NBC Universal, paving the way for GE to sell the network altogether to Comcast, the nation's largest cable provider. And those are some of the stories we're following this morning. Coming up, the feds are getting out of the mortgage business, but at what cost to homeowners and taxpayers? We'll find out in just a few minutes. You know, you can catch the show live Monday through Friday. Thanks for listening. If you have any feedback or think there's any stories we should be covering on The Takeaway, contact us at 1-877-8-MY-TAKE. Or my take at thetakeaway.org. See ya.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.